Greetings to one and all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and also greetings from Calvary Pandan BP Church. I'd like to thank Elder Koh and the session and the church for this kind invitation to come to rejoice and to thank God together with all of you on your 15th anniversary of this church. It is indeed an honor and a privilege to share God's word with God's people. The topic as announced is taken from verse 12 of 1 Samuel chapter 7, Ebenezer. Eben means stone, Ezer means help. And so the word hitherto hath the Lord Ezer us, help us, same word, a stone of help. In Singapore where we live, there is this place called East Point, my second favorite eating place. It's a hawker center. And once in a while, you'll see new stalls opened. And then there will be a small little fanfare. There will be bouquets of flowers placed in front, probably sent by well-wishers or family members, hoping that they will do well in business. And then a few months down the road, as you notice that they do not get too much business, they close down. And then another one will take its place, and then another one. And this seems to be the trend in many parts of Singapore and perhaps also in Australia. You open a business, you wish and you hope and you pray that the business will not go bust. A little bit of fanfare at the inauguration, and then weeks, months will go by, and you try to maintain the business. You try not to change. Hold on to what you think is what will bring in the business. But sadly, they fail. Starting a church is easy. Keeping it going is tough. Keeping it going in the same original stance of the church is even harder, isn't it? We hear of churches who have started new ways of worship in order to keep the young people. And so you call them in the morning, the traditional worship service, and then in the later half of the morning or in the evening, we have the more contemporary way of worship. Many gimmicks have been used and employed to keep the church going and to keep the church alive. And you even have gurus, they call themselves, who have written many books on how a church could grow in numbers. And if you employ these people, giving them perhaps a five-figure salary, they promise you that if they study your church and they will give you a blueprint that if you comply within 5 to 10 years, they guarantee you the number in the church will multiply 2-3-fold, minimum. These are the trends of our age and of our time. How to keep the church going, how to hold on to the church. And I'm sure you know that in Australia there have been many, many church buildings that have been converted to restaurants, to offices, to all kinds of businesses, but it has ceased to be a church. The building remains, but the church, once upon a time, used to be full of people where the hymns were sung, would reverberate and echo around the walls of these old buildings, are now completely silent. What has happened? Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. 15 years. Israel at this point in time had been in the land of promise for 350 years. 350. At this point in time, when Samuel started his ministry, was Israel a good nation? Sadly, it was a period which the Bible calls it the period of judges. A period where everyone did what was right in their own eyes. This was the tail end of the period of judges, because by the time Samuel died, Israel will enter into the period of monarchy. At this juncture, God was the king. It is called a theocracy. where the word of God was to be taught by the Levites and the priests, where Israel was supposed to be a witness to the rest of the world of what it means to experience the grace and the mercies of God, of what it means to be called God's people. That's the meaning of Israel, Prince of God. But Israel had failed the Lord. Israel at this crossroad of her existence had been very badly humiliated and devastated. In the earlier chapters of 1 Samuel, they even lost the ark. The Ark of the Covenant was the most sacred of all the items that God gave to Israel. It was placed in the most holy place. No one was supposed to look into it. No one was allowed to touch it. They were supposed to carry it in a manner that God has stipulated. Anyone who carried it in any other way, regardless of how sincere you are, if you break it, you die. And they lost it to the Philistines. And God had to bring this ark back into the land of promise to Israel on his own, without man's help. God sent plagues after plagues after plagues to all the Philistine cities that had the ark, until they realized that it must be the ark that resulted in all these plagues, that had resulted in the death of so many citizens of the 45 cities in Philistine territory. And so the ark was brought back. And when God's people look into the ark, look at verse 19, chapter 6, 50,070 of them died. God is no respecter of person. Very often we fail to realize that when we are God's people, a higher standard of holiness is expected of us, not a lower standard. Never think that just because I am a child of God, I can do whatever I want because now I have a relationship with God. When I was a sinner, undone, bound for hell, well, God will punish me. But now that I'm a son, I'm a daughter of God, I can do whatever I want. I will not lose my relationship with God. Please don't ever think that way. A higher standard of holiness was expected of Israel. And so in chapter 7 of 1 Samuel, they did not know what to do with the ark. The ark was placed in the house of Abinadab, chapter 7, verse 1 tells us, and it was there for 20 long years. So Israel was in a very sad state. But nevertheless, Israel was still in existence. Israel still remained. I do not know the spiritual condition of Sydney BP Church. We're not talking about the building. The building looks good. You think so? How old is this building? When was it completed? 5 years? 10 years ago? 10 years ago. The building looks good. Looks brand new, isn't it? You look at all the corners are still pretty sharp. Nobody knocked it. There were no chips here, chip there. No cobwebs. But it's not the building, isn't it? The church is you. How is your spiritual life? You think because you are a child of God, you can do whatever you want? Like Israel. They thought that we are God's people. We are now in the land of promise. We can do whatever we want. It does not matter how we live. Israel was in a very bad shape at this time. And so there are three conditions if you want the Lord to help you. Just as God gave certain conditions that Israel must obey if you want God to help you. Do not think that because you are related to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, help will come automatically. God said, I won't even hear your prayers, even though you may be my children, if you regard iniquity in your heart. Psalm 66, verse 18. Is that not true? He won't even hear your prayers. You can't pray for yourself. You can't pray for your children. You can't pray for the church. You can't pray for anybody if you regard iniquity in your heart. And God was referring to God's children. He was not referring to unbelievers. Do you want the Lord to help you? Israel, do you want God to help you? Well, Samuel gave them the conditions. Verse 3 to verse 8, you have to be a godly people. If you want God's help, you have to be a godly people. Now, we are talking about godliness, not so much holiness. It's the same, in the same ballpark. Holiness deals with the sin that we have in our hearts and in our lives. Godliness talks about the person must bear the marks and the characteristics of God. Not just live a holy life, but he must bear the characteristics of God. And that's what Israel was supposed to be when God founded Israel. That's what this church was supposed to be when God founded this church. It is God who founded this church. God may use men to found it, but it is God who has founded this church. And this church is supposed to be filled with godly people. So the question is, are you a godly people? You want God to continue to help this church? Ask yourself this question, am I godly? And Samuel spake unto all the house of Israel, saying, verse 3, three steps toward godliness. If ye do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, return unto the Lord with all your hearts, because Israel at that point in time has strayed away from the Lord. You know that the people, all of you combined together, all the members of the congregation of this church combined together makes up the church. You know that. Without you, there is no church. The church is not just the leaders. The church is the people. Congregation and leaders combined together make up the church. And so the question you need to ask yourself after 15 years, you may not be here from the very beginning, but the Lord has brought you here. You may be here for 5 years, 10 years, some even be less. But nevertheless, it does not matter how long you have been in the church, but whether you are a godly people. That's the thing. If you are not, then as Samuel have instructed the Israelites, return unto the Lord with all your hearts. That's the first step toward godliness. Return unto the Lord with all your hearts. That means make sure that every area of your life is godly. Don't be godly only on Sunday. That is hypocrisy. Godliness covers every facet of your life. Husband-wife relationship, parent-child relationship, children-parents relationship, in school, in your workplace, no area must be left untouched. That's what godliness is. Don't pretend to be holy when you come to church. That kind of pretense is mockery to God. And you know that God is never mocked by the hypocrisy of man. He knows our hearts. That's why Samuel said to you, return unto the Lord with all your heart, not with part, not with most, with all your heart, with every ounce of your strength and your energy, your motives. Are you going to return unto the Lord in your workplace and be a godly employee, be a godly student, be a godly housewife, be a godly father, a godly husband, with all your heart, not perfection, but come back unto the Lord. Make right with God. And then the second step, put away the strange gods and the Ashtaroth among you. You have to put away. There is the positive, that is, come back to the Lord, that's good. But if you don't take away the negatives, and that will be the gods. And you know what the gods are. And I'm sure all of us will pass the test if we are only referring to gods that are made of stones, gold and silver. And I'm sure in all our homes, we do not have these objects. But the scary thing is, these gods that the Bible referred to include more than just the tangible. The gods there could be your wife, could be your husband, could be your children, could be your job. You migrated to Australia, it is a dog-eat-dog world. And the natural tendency is to fight for ego. Me, I, self, right? That's the mindset of everyone. Whereas if you are in your birth country, it may be a little different. But when you migrate, every part of you is like those long, long time ago cowboy days in America, right? When they uproot their whole family, they sold their farm, and then they march hundreds and hundreds of miles across all kinds of weather to go to the promised land, California, where there was gold. Right? It was untouched land. And so everyone went there with this mindset of, I must make it, no matter what happened, I must make it. My family must survive. No matter what. I will do anything for myself, I will do anything for my family. That's our problem, isn't it? We brought this kind of mindset into our church life. And we think that in the church it's always I and my first, and so everything else become secondary or like an appendix. And coming to church, serving the Lord, also with the same kind of mindset and mentality. If I have time, after I have settled my family, my children's welfare, my own welfare, after I've settled everything, when my house is well and good and stable, then maybe I will start serving the Lord. I will start spending time in church. I will then do all these things. You don't put God first in your life and remove all the Ashtaroth. You can't be a godly people. You have to make sure that you remove all these Ashtaroth and gods from your life. Please don't think that you struggle with it once and you will never struggle with it again. You and I keep changing. We are not immutable like God. You may have passed the test when you accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior at that point in time, but that must have been some years back. You and I change. The question is, are we changed to become more like Christ, or have we become like the world once more? You have to constantly, consistently ask yourself, have I put away continuously? Yesterday you put away. What about today? What about tomorrow? If today you have put away all the Ashtaroth and gods and you have passed the test today, but what about tomorrow? And then the next day, and then the next day, you have to keep on putting it away. Is your job more important to you than Christ? Is your spouse more important to you than Christ? Or is your son, your daughter more important to you than Christ? Then you can't be a godly people. How can God help you when you are not godly, when you don't want to do it on His terms? His terms are very strict. His terms are non-negotiable. You have to return to the Lord, because if God were to bless you and help you, regardless, you can do whatever you want, you can live in sin, and you can have Ashtaroth in your life, you have all the gods in your life, and God still help you, what do you think God will be doing? God will be doing the same thing as you will be doing if your son comes back home from school when he had just told you, Dad, actually I did not go to school. Actually I went to the casino. I told them that I was 21 years old. I know I'm under, but I lied. You see, I lied and I cheated and I wasted all my money, the money that you have gave to me in my bank. I have used everything up and I have just lied to you. And what do you say to your son? Well done, my good and faithful son. Right? You do that? Because that's exactly what God will be doing if you have Ashtaroth and gods in your life, if you never return to Him with all your heart, and you still want Him to help you and bless you and protect you and watch over you. What will God be? Like that father, isn't it? God cannot help you if you do not come to Him. Because coming back to Him is the beginning of the journey of help. That's why Samuel began in verse 3. You have to return to the Lord. And then the next thing is put away continuously. And then verse 3b, the last part, prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve Him only. Then the next step, you want to come back, good. Then deal with the sin, deal with the idols. And then, now I want to serve you. That's what Samuel charged them with. Prepare your hearts unto the Lord and serve Him only, no mixed motivations or goals. Only the Lord. You're here to serve the Lord through service to one another. But we are not here to serve man, full stop, in terms of looking for the accolades and all the man's words and position. And for man to notice. Only the Lord only. And then He will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistine. Then He will help you. Plain and simple. You fulfill this, that means godly people. Thank God, the children of Israel, they put away the Baalim and the Ashtaroth and they served the Lord only. They wanted to and they did it. That's the first step. They search into all their homes, search into all their barns and all the trees and everywhere that they used to have all these Baalim and Ashtaroth. Baalim would be the masculine gods. The wife of Baal is Ashtaroth. This is all plural. Im is plural. O-T-H is plural. That means many of the gods, many of the consorts of the gods. They all were put away, destroyed. And then Samuel gathered all the people to Mizpeh. Mizpeh means watchtower. It was located inside the tribe of Benjamin, which was adjacent to the Philistine territory. And then he said, I will now pray for you unto the Lord. And then the people gathered to Mizpeh and drew water And then they poured it out before the Lord as a symbol of cleansing and washing. And then they fasted on that day, waited and waited, and then while they waited for Samuel to pray to the Lord for them, to deliver them from the Philistines, they confessed their sin. We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpah. Samuel evaluated the sincerity of what they have done, which was correct. To return unto the Lord, all it takes is removal of all the idols. And if it is not something that is tangible, if it is something that is of the heart, that means in your own heart of heart, you put your son and your daughter as more important than Christ. You can fix it right now at this moment. Crying to the Lord, no more, Lord, no more. You must be first and foremost in my heart and in my life. That's all it takes. Confession of sin. You have to fix it, because if you don't, you're going to be in serious spiritual trouble. We are not talking about financial. Sure, if you work very hard, you can be very rich in the material sense. But as a child of God, you will be bankrupt in your soul. As a child of God, you will be a terrible witness and testimony to your own children at home. They will not see in you a godly father or a godly mother. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together at Mizpah, and now they were ready to fight against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they became very frightened of the Philistines. And then the children of Israel came to Samuel, and then they said, "Cease not, don't ever stop crying unto the Lord for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines." Now that they have been cleansed, now that they are a godly people, they want to do it on God's terms. That's what it means. Do you want to be helped by God? Then be a godly Christian. Be a godly Christian. And not only that, the second condition from verse 9 to verse 12, now that the people want to be a godly Christian, now look at verse 9 to verse 12. You see the godly way. They must approach God in a manner that God himself had stipulated. Samuel took a suckling lamb, that means a very young lamb, and offered it for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. They must do it God's way. The burnt offering is an offering for the atonement of sin. That means it must be through the Lord Jesus Christ. No other way. It must only be through the Lord Jesus Christ according to the Holy Scriptures. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel, you see. They were not preparing an army. They were not training them to be commandos. They want to fix right their relationship with God. And as they were offering the burnt offering, the enemies attacked. The enemies came. You see, you and I must understand that as God's people, we are always spiritual. And therefore, as spiritual people, the battle is always spiritual. It's not carnal. It's not the arm of the flesh. When you have to decide, do I put Christ first or do I put my son first, my daughter first? It's a spiritual struggle. When someone persecutes you, when someone says terrible things against you, when someone hurts you, it is now your turn. It is a spiritual struggle how you react and respond. Are you going to react and respond in a manner that is God-honoring? You pass the test, because the battle is spiritual. It is now you and the Lord. How are you going to respond? If you respond in a sinful manner, you have failed the test. It is spiritual. That's why God's way is so important. That's why burnt offering. Samuel must do it God's way. He had been tasked by the people, don't ever stop praying for us. Please don't stop. That does not mean that Samuel can do it any way he likes. He must do it through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the burnt offering. That is a type of Christ. The burnt offering, the sin offering, the peace offering, thank all the offerings in the Levitical system describe the offering of Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God. And while they were doing it, the Philistines came, and you watch what happened. The Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. Did Israel lift a finger? No. Not at this point in time, only in verse 11. They were in great disarray through the power of God. All Israel did was to repent of their sin. All Israel did was to right their relationship with God by turning back to Him with all their heart, remove all their idols, and they now want to serve the Lord, and Samuel prayed for them according to God's way, and God will take care of the rest. God will take care of the rest. You want God to take care of you, want God to help you and protect you and your family, this is the way. You try to do it and go it on your own, using the arm of the flesh, and you think that by my own expertise, by my own IQ, by my own experience, by myself, you're going to collapse and fail, because it is a spiritual warfare. The arm of the flesh is useless against the spiritual forces that Satan will throw at you. You wrestle not with flesh and blood against principalities in high places. That's why God's way is so significant and important for godly people. But if you're not godly, you will go the way of man. It's only when you are godly, then God's way, the godly way, will become your way. And that's what God wants of all His children. Why do you think He says pray without ceasing? A person who prays without ceasing is a child who will never stop leaning on God. You think it's so easy to bring up children, dear parents? Please understand that you only have one try. One try to bring up your son, your daughter. They will only be 3 years old once in their whole lifetime. They will be 4 years old once in their lifetime. And if you mess it up, you don't instill in them the word of everlasting life, you're going to pay the price, and the price will be the loss of your son and your daughter to the world. And when they die in their sin without the Savior, you better say goodbye to them forever. It's not going to be see you, my son. It's going to be goodbye. When you are on your deathbed and they stand around you, you look at them for the last time, and you be prepared to say goodbye forever. That's what it means. You do not put God first. God cannot help you. God wants to help all His people, all His children, but God says, do it on my terms, my conditions, godliness. Be godly. Do it God's way. He will help you. He wants to help you. You look at how He delivered the Philistines. You think that the arm of the flesh can ever be more powerful than God? You think Satan can ever be more powerful than God? And you think that you can be more powerful and you are better than God, that you don't need His help? You and I will never be. This is God's church. And more often than not, dear friends, God uses us not because of how clever we are, not because of how rich or how good we are. God uses us in spite of our weaknesses, our idiosyncrasies, and our slothfulness. That's why whenever we think of the goodness and the grace and the mercies of God, it is always the goodness and the grace and the mercies of God. Not because of us, but in spite of us. God helped us, God kept us, God watched over us. That's our God. God says, I want you to be a godly people, and I want you to do it God's way. And then the men of Israel went out of Mizpah, and then they pursued the Philistines, and then they smote them all the way right until they come to this place called Bethkar. Bethkar means a house of pasture. And then Samuel took a stone, and then he set it between Mizpah and Shen. Shen is like a cliff. Okay, so this place where they had their encounter with God in Mizpah, and this place called Shen is like a cliff, he built an altar, put a stone there, and then he called the name of it a stone of help. So every time any Israelite were to see this stone that Samuel had mounted there between Mizpah and Shen, they will remember how the Lord had delivered and protected Israel against the Philistines. Godliness, God's way, hitherto, here the Lord hath helped us. The Lord has helped us. The Lord is always the one who has helped us. You ask yourself this question. Helped you to become what? Why do you want God's help? pray tell. Help you to be one. When you are sick, you want God to help you, to heal you, to make you better. Do you ask yourself the next question? To what end? To what end? Now that you are healthy, you want God to help you in your business. To what end? You can buy a bigger house, buy more cars, can travel around the world many more times. To what end? Ask yourself this simple question. All right, the Lord is prepared to help you. But help you to become what? To do what? If it is not to serve the Lord, why do you want God to help you? If you have been gambling and you are now sick in hospital, you want God to raise you back to health so that you can gamble more? If you have been an idol worshipper, you want God to help you? Fine, God will help you. To do what? To worship the idol more? Ask yourself, the Lord help you to become what? If it is not to serve the Lord, if it is not to be a blessing to others, if it is not to promote God's kingdom, if it is not to testify for the Lord Jesus Christ, then you ask God to help you to become more carnal. You think God will ever do that? God loves you. You love your son, you will never encourage him to sin more. God loves you, and that's why God says, I will help you to become more godly, to reflect my grace and my mercies in your life so that your friends can see you and they can see Christ. That's what the Lord helped Israel to become, that Israel will be restored back to her original purpose. And that was to be founded as a nation by God to tell the world that there is a one living and true God who loves them, the God who sent Jesus Christ to die for them, that they can find a solution to the bondage of sin that they are in. That's why God helped Israel, so that Israel will be restored back to her original purpose, so that they will not be like the people in the days of Judges, where everyone will just do what is right in their own eyes. Is this church in the period of Judges, where everyone will do what is right in his own eyes? You ask yourself that question. The Bible is just there for sure. Israel still had the Word of God, but they did not have the Word of God inside them. They have the Word of God outside of them. That's why we still have the Bible today. The Word of God was still there. You and I have the Word of God, isn't it? Everywhere. You have it in your iPhone. You have it in your iPad. You have it on your shelf. You have it in your hands. You have it everywhere you go, right? We have more of the Word of God compared to any generation of man's existence. True? Because it's so cheap now. It's free. King James Bible is free, right? You can download it. And if you have three phones, you probably have three of them. True? But God says, I want it to be inside here. Not outside in all other parts. Inside. Inside your heart. That's what God wants. In order for you to do things God's way. In order that I may help you to be a godly son, a godly daughter, a godly witness. That's the outcome. That's the purpose of God helping. Will this church remain faithful? Will this church remain a godly church? Will this church continue to hold on? Or will it be like any of the other churches? That one day it will be sold off, and then they will redesign this and use it for something else. You know that this church was purchased, if I remember correctly, from an Indian temple, right? I still remember when we first came here, there was a burn patch on the floor there. There was a previous owner of this church building. Something happened to them. There was no more people, no more congregation. They sold the premises to the Indians and they used this for their temple worship. And then for whatever reason, they might have outgrown it. For whatever reason, they left and they sold it to us. Will Sydney BB Church go the same way? If the Lord tarries, if the Lord does not return soon, will Sydney BP Church go the way of many churches throughout the history of mankind? You look at the seven churches in the book of Revelation. You go to Turkey. The seven churches are still there in terms of the names of the cities. Philadelphia, Ephesus, they're all there in the city. But you go to the spot where these churches used to exist, you find none. Only the ruins. It has become a tourist attraction for believers go there on a pilgrimage, and all they do is to take pictures and slides of rubbles. The church is not the building. What happened to the people? Somewhere along the line, something happened. And that brings us to the third condition. You have godly people, people who want to do it God's way. Look at verse 13 to 15. Godly leader. The third condition. In order for this to maintain, to sustain, with the same trend of godliness. So the Philistines were subdued. They came no more into the coast of Israel. Now you watch. And the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines for how long? All the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel from Ekron even unto Gath. Now these were the fortified cities of the Philistines. That means Israel grew in strength and might and power against the Philistines. And the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines. So they got back all the land and the territory that the Philistines took from Israel. And there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. The Amorites means all the surrounding nations that exist still in the time of Samuel. Included the Philistines to the west. And then you will have the Ammonites and the Moabites to their east, and then you have the Edomites to the south, and then in the north you will have the Syrians and the Assyrians. All of them were at peace with Israel. Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life. So what you have as the third condition will be godly leaders. To maintain the same stance, the same spiritual fervor and fervency and righteousness, you have to have godly leaders. Godly people, good. Godly way, good. But to maintain it, you must have godly leaders. They were very good as long as Samuel was alive. As long as Samuel judged Israel as a godly man, as a godly leader, all the days of his life, Israel was strong. Israel was healthy. Israel was spiritual. What about Sydney BP Church? If the Lord tarries, will there be new leaders who will be godly and who will continue on the fight of the good fight of faith? Think of your sons and your daughters. Think of your grandchildren. You know how hard it is to find a godly church, a conservative church. You know how difficult it is. Even in Singapore, we have many BP churches that are crumbling like dust. The mountain churches are gone. Mount Carmel, Mount Hebron, Mount Hermon, Mount Gerizim, they're all gone. Up north in Serangoon, you have Zion BP Church, you have Faith BP Church, all gone. One by one. You have Reverend David Wong, Dr. Kwek Swee Wah, joining hands, holding seminars with charismatics, with new evangelicals, with liberals, all kinds of people. Publicly, it's all in the magazine. That is the BP scenario. Conservative sound churches are under assault by the evil one. And you think Satan will just simply mind his own business and he's going to leave Sydney BP Church alone? Somehow or rather, you're going to find a stamp where Sydney BP Church has some kind of force field protection against Satan that everyone who comes in, he will say, oh, I dare not touch. There is no place, no church, no one that Satan is afraid of that he will not try to cause you to stumble and fall. And what you need would be godly leaders who will continue on. If you do not find them, this church is as good as the present generation. Because after that, it's over. Game over. That's it. After this, it's all over. That's why young people, if you do not arise to the occasion, you can say goodbye to the church. The Lord will help you. Yes, He wants to help you, but there are terms, there are conditions. Godly people, godly way, and godly leaders. And He will help you, He will defend you, He will uphold you. You know how important godly leaders are, especially when it is a Presbyterian church government, ruled by the leaders. They make decisions for the direction of your church every year. They are the ones who will plan the program. They are the ones who will appoint Sunday school teachers, appoint all the leaders. If you do not have God-fearing leaders, godly leaders, you are finished. You are done for. That's why godly criteria, very, very crucial and important in selecting godly leaders. Not because they are rich, not because they are powerful out in the world. They must have biblical spiritual qualifications as given in 1 Timothy 3, verse 1 to verse 7 for elders, verse 8 to verse 14 for deacons and deaconesses. And they are non-negotiable. Every item mentioned there, every criteria and qualification must be present in the leader before you make him leader. You don't make him a leader and here's the list, try to have this. Too late. You must make sure that the leaders are godly, or else this church is gone. You look at the BP movement. We are 60 years old, the movement, and it is already crumbling. Where we studied at Grace Theological Seminary, it was founded around the same time as Faith Theological Seminary, the BP movement. By the time we left, we did not know that the seminary will exist only for another 2-3 more years. Today, Grace Theological Seminary is gone. You only have the college, teaching liberal arts and a few Bible subjects. That's it. The seminary is gone. They have to borrow lecturers from the college to teach if there are any students who might be interested in studying in the seminary. Oh, they still exist in name. That it was never, never like the days of old, where there were so many students, hundreds and hundreds of them. They will come together, they will gather together to study the Word of God. Those days were gone. And all you need was infiltration, the president, the leaders failed the Lord, and so the whole system crumbled. All your years of founding and building crumbled within one generation of bad leadership. That's all. You know how hard it is to build, right? So easy to tear down. You know how many tons and tons and hours of thousands of hours to build the Great Wall, the World Towers, before it was torn down by those two jet planes, isn't it? Just like that. The World Trade Center, 9/11. You studied the documentary on how much steel was used, how much concrete, how deep the foundation. They had a documentary on how these two twin towers were built. And all the world watched as two planes just flew into it, and within a couple of hours, gone, disappeared forever. Same, 15 years to build, to build, to build. All you need will be one generation of bad leaders, and everything will just simply disappear. Hitherto, the Lord helped us. But will the Lord continue to help the next generation? Salvation, remember, is all of God's work. The Lord helping us is the blessing that God wants to give to us. But that is always conditional. Salvation is unconditional, you're right. It is all of God's grace and God's mercy. It is all of God's work. All you need to do is to confess your sin and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and accept Him as your Lord and as your Savior, and you will be born again if you really accept Him from your heart. But then, the Lord helping you to be a light and a salt on this earth, to be a blessing to others, to shine forth the true character of God by the way that you live. It's conditioned upon obedience. Don't confuse the two. Blessings are always conditioned upon obedience. And you want the Lord to help you, He wants to. But you have to do it on His terms. Be a godly people. You fix your life. Don't presume. If you have idols in your heart and in your life, He knows. He knows each and every one of us. Even before you are born, He knows. And then you must do it God's way. And if you want this church to remain true to the Lord, you find godly leaders. You rise to the occasion, the second generation, and fill in the gap if you want this church to be strong. For the sake of your own generation, young people, and for the sake of the generation after you. You pray and you think very carefully. God has saved you at this tender age, not by chance, but with a sovereign will and purpose. Will you be found faithful? The Lord will be. He will always be faithful. He cannot be otherwise. But will you? Will Sydney BP Church remain as a conservative, fundamentalist church where people who come here, they may hear the gospel preached and find salvation, true salvation, where members of God's people come here, they may grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what a church is, and that's what the Lord will help the church to be. Will you do your part? Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to the hearts of God's people, O Lord, this morning, that each and everyone in Sydney BP Church, a child of thine, has a very important part to play. Even as the Lord desires to help Sydney BP Church grow from strength to strength, not only in numbers, but more so in spirituality, may God's people rise to the occasion and return back unto the Lord with all their heart, and to put away all the idols and gods in their lives, and to serve the Lord only. O Lord, may this be the heart's cry of all of God's people in Sydney BP Church, that as they reflect and remember thy goodness for the past 15 years, O Lord, may thou be merciful to continue to sustain and to keep this church, that this church will remain faithful and true to the Lord Jesus Christ, even unto the day when the Lord Jesus returns in the power and the cloud of glory. And we pray, Father, that God's people will be godly, and that they will do all things God's way, that none of the ways of the world will ever come into the life of thy people in this your congregation. And we pray, O Lord, that thou will also be merciful to raise up godly leaders that will take care of the flock of the Lord Jesus Christ, that not only will this generation be blessed, but so will the succeeding generations. O Lord, hear us. For this we ask with thanksgiving and for thy glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.